we're going to consider the recommendations, and are you introducing on that? Thank you.
Thank you. So every year Health Watch has a statutory duty to produce an annual report at the end of June. And this is our report from 2018 to 19. So I won't go through it page by page because I think that everyone's read it. I'll just go through some of the highlights initially. So last year we heard from 2,158 people who shared their experiences with health and social care with us. And many of those experiences were positive, so we get a lot of positive feedback about services. And it's equally as important to look at that and take learning from that, as well as the negative. By far the biggest service that we get feedback about is primary care, and that's probably just because it affects absolutely everyone, and everyone has an interest in it. And again, we get lots of positive feedback. Most of the feedback is about access to appointments, availability of appointments, waiting times, and blood tests. We also get an awful lot of people coming to us wanting to know how to access health care services, such as dentists, and social care services as well, and also inquiring about funding. That's a big thing for people, wanting to know how much social care is going to cost, and unfortunately a lot of people that come to us need to know right now because, you know, they need help at that time. We've done a lot of work in partnership with others, so one of the most successful things we have done and are still doing is working with the local authority and the CCG with their quality team and providing experts by experience who support the quality team with their visits to care and nursing homes. So last year we did 59 visits. This year we've done 22 visits, and we've got another 17 visits booked before the end of the year. And we've spoken to a huge number of residents. Our focus is speaking to residents, family members, and staff, and getting the view of quality from their perspective, because I feel that residents in care homes are often overlooked. And it's really important that they have their say, not just on care in that home, but in primary care, hospital care, and just what's important to them in their lives. So that's a great piece of work, and we're still doing that. We're also working with the local authority, CCG, and Trust around support for people with dementia. And again, that's one of our priorities this year is mental health. And it's really important that we get the right service for people, and apparently the same for people with mental health problems, particularly dementia, and particularly with more acute needs. This year, we are really excited. We're working with the Ironwood College, and we're supporting health and social care students. So we started the work in the summer, and they chose their five priorities within health and social care. And this year, each health and social care student will be working on a research project based around one of those five priorities. So they'll be doing some desktop research and also talking to their peers. That's a year-long project that they'll be presenting their research projects in April next year. And I'm hoping perhaps the results of that can be shared with members of the Health and Wellbeing Board, because it's really important, again, the children and young people listen to. And they are a very articulate, bright, passionate bunch of young people. And it's really important that a lot of them think that their future's off the island. But, you know, if they feel listened to, I'm hoping that they feel they have some influence on local health social care services. This year as well, we're also just developing a community chest. So we've got a very small amount of funding put by that we can give out to smaller voluntary sector organisations. And our focus this year is on mental health. So we are going through that process at the moment and looking through the applications. And the whole point of that is to use other voluntary sector organisations to reach people that perhaps we don't reach already. So it's really small voluntary sector organisations that can listen to the voice of people that may have mental health issues or may have, use mental health services or may not. But it's all around mental health and wellbeing. And again, we hope to get the results of that early next spring. We are also working in partnership with Healthwatch England. So we did a survey earlier this year around the long-term plan, as every local health watch did. And the results of that were fed back to the STP. And there's an event tonight, so I'm hoping some people will be going at in cows at the sugar store to talk about the long-term plan and how it's going to be implemented across Hampshire and the Arbite. And I guess everyone's aware that Simon Stevens has announced he'll be doing a national review of non-emergency patient transport services. So we'll be feeding into that as well. And hoping that they can bear in mind our additional needs. So they've done some initial research, which is very much based around bus times and travel and costs, but no worries if we mention that we have ferry as well. So hopefully we'll be inputting into that and hoping they take account of our needs. So any questions from anybody?
Can I just start, when do those projects finish that you talked about that the students are doing with the college?
They're going to present findings in April next year.
So I was just thinking, you asked whether it would be possible for them to do a presentation to the board. You were suggesting a presentation to the board, so I think we should put that in the timeline just to build that in once they're done. So that we give them that slot on the agenda, I think that would be good. And then they would also know that they're going to get that opportunity so they can build that up as they come to the end of their projects. That's what I was thinking. Their members are happy with that. Okay, take questions. I've got Michael.
Very interested in about the community chest on mental health and the word the voice you use. Some years ago, you organised an excellent event which was called The Voice of Mental Health. It was actually at the cricket ground. I had some involvement, but it was an excellent event because it really gave a platform for the voice of people who experience mental health issues every day. And it really gave them a platform. I think especially with the changes that have happened, having an event, especially linked to this community chest where you're actually having to get the voice stronger, would be extremely good. I think it'd be good to get those details of that event and circulate it to other members, because it really did give a really strong voice, and I haven't seen anything like that within that, and I think it would be really good to have that within that. Have you all comments on that?
Thank you. Do you want to respond to Deej, spare up to Michelle and then Claire want to speak?
Yeah, yes. The successful applicants of the funding will go on to do a project, and again, that's due to finish in the spring next year. So we hope to have a showcase event where their reports and research can be fed back through an event. And some of them are using different means of feedback, so some are using video, blogs, other via the radio as well. So yeah, we're certainly interested in looking at perhaps another event early next year.
Thank you. I think it might be prudent to go to Claire, actually, because I suspect your point's going to be directly related to that, isn't it?
I think we
as much as that's brilliant, dear Councillor Lilly, I think we need to take some of those ideas, and the motion that was put before Council was that users in experience was for our event on the 18th of December, so I think that's really important that we focus on that as well. The motion was brought to Council, it was brought in a very detailed way. I'm sure there was a bit of Councillor Lilly herself invite to that motion, which we've accepted, and we will ensure that those users' experience are actually projected on the 18th of December as well.
Michelle. Hi, I just wanted to say a couple of things really. I thought the report was absolutely excellent. I read it, it was fun, it felt interesting to read, and that's all, it's all stuff that I'm quite familiar with, but I was really engaged with it, so it was a great report, I thought. The recommendations for the dementia, the six I believe there are, do we know that they've been fed into the re-look at the dementia strategy? Because I've been kindly invited to that, so I will absolutely make sure, I'm sure you're on that new committee as well. But I think that's really important. I would just sort of add, I didn't see anything in there, any comments from our users about IT or anything to help enable IT enabling technology with that sort of thing. I just had a great presentation yesterday, so it's in my mind at the moment, so I'll just put that out there as well. But thank you so much.
Simon?
Thank you. I mean, lots of interesting stuff in there. I was wondering, think about what the mental health work we're doing. How do we really make sure it's targeted on those who really need it? Think about the inequalities and those who have serious mental illness and dying early from physical health, and also how to promote well-being as part of the work you're doing. So how do we really make sure that's a part of the work going forward? And how do we help that?
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks for the report, Joe. I'll start with some good news,
good news.
That's from yesterday. So I met yesterday with the Regional Director for Skills for Care, and they're wanting to write up the work that we're doing together around the experts and experience, because they feel that that's a model that other regions could learn from. And if you've noted in the report, it's for a small sum of money, just over £6,600 a year in terms of commissioning from my department. I think I'm so pleased at how that's going, because the voice of those experts, my experience, now is writ large in the individual reports that you get back. So that's great. A question, I'm a bit brave. So when Jo comes in and she looks at any of our services and makes recommendations, what we're then obliged to do is to provide Jo with an action plan in terms of responding to those recommendations, and indeed following on in terms of after that, going back again at routine intervals saying, have we implemented what we've said we've implemented? And that's really important that Health Watch has teeth, quite frankly, and it's right that on occasion Health Watch make some of us uncomfortable, because that's what's the best motivator for change and improvement. So I think basically, are you getting the response that you need from the agencies, including absolutely my own, when you've come in and you've done your work in terms of then how assured do you feel? Not reassured, there's a fundamental difference between reassurance, trust me, it's Carol, as opposed to actually here's what we're physically doing, that's the assurance. So are you, how is Health Watch feeling with regards to how we're then reacting to your recommendations?
Yeah, absolutely. We feel a parity of esteem with the quality team. So they go in and do their bit in the care home, and we have a different role. So we go in separately, usually on the same day, and we always get a good response. And that's from the local authority homes and the other homes. We try and, with the sense of quality team, we try and go in constructively, expecting the best and expecting a really good experience until it's proved otherwise. And there's good practice in every home, so there may be problems in some homes, but there's always good practice as well, so we try and amend it, report. But yeah, generally we've not had any problems at all.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Chair. Well, first, page 31, where the little patch adds on the income and expenditure. Not that you spend 80,000 on staff and 5,000 on the office, then you've got 61,000. This is how much it costs to run Health Watch. Can you be more specific on how much money you spent?
So that covers all expenses such as marketing, communication, IT support, equipment, events. That would also cover volunteer expenses. So that's quite high because we've got some very active volunteers.
If I may add to it, I just came back from the National Conference of Health Watch. We have over 20 volunteers continuously working with us at any point of time. For comparison, most of Health Watches, they either don't have volunteers or have 2 to 4 volunteers. So this is the difference, and this is what set us aside from others, and as a result, we are able to engage better with different services, and as a result, we can get better outcome for people here on the island. But it costs as well.
Thank you for that. Any other questions? Can I just thank you for the report? There's a lot of work goes behind these documents, and I can see that. I just want to make one observation, do a comment. I'm just really interested in where the cross-selling travel scheme is going to go. There may be some comments from others on that. I'm certainly aware the MP is very much onto that at the moment. I know he's been in communication with senior ministers on this particular issue in the wider island deal, and he's kept me briefed on that. So I think I'm glad it's in here, and I think we need to keep close watch on that because it is really important to people on this island. Whatever way it pans out with all of us, actually being able to articulate that through this document was useful. So thank you very much for that. Okay, thank you very much. Our recommendation on that, I just need to get that this soon. Just ask notice.
Chair, is it possible to make a proposal to accept the recommendations in the report?
It is once I can find them. That's what I was just.
They're actually on page.
There were no recommendations in that report because it was purely the result of the search. So we were working with the local authority to support them with their consultation, so we didn't feel we had the right to make recommendations around that. We purely wanted to express what people were saying. However, the only thing we would feel is important is that the island might consider cross-border travel, and not just the costs associated with that, but the physical and emotional costs to people that have to travel when they're unwell.
So obviously I would be happy to support that. I noticed on page B13 we've got the immediate environment should be enhanced for more homely welcome feelings from patients and their families. This is specific into one area. So there's some notes in there, I just would refer members to that. So I think we note the report.
And you've got B16 recommendations as well. I just think that those recommendations are excellent. I also wish to propose that we as a board thank, officially, I know you sort of said, but actually, but we all thank Joanna, because Health Watch is a real, does give the voice of the service users and families, and has been consistent. So other services have gone up and down, but Health Watch has been consistent and has been a consistent message of how to get improvement from that voice. And I think we really need to really thank her for her team, for all the hard work and all the volunteer work, to actually keep us on track with that consistency. of that. And I'd also like to say that I'm glad that mental health is still kept as a priority and we'll keep it as a priority until the services are improved. Thank you.
Okay, so well, obviously those thanks are noted and the report is noted, and I think everybody's had the opportunity to say what they want to. So I'm going to move on to item 6 now, which is the